Seize the moment and don't squander it, cause you never know when it all could be over tomorrow. So I keep pondering. Sometimes I wonder where these thoughts wander.
Yeah, ponder it, do you want? There's no wonder you're losing your mind the way it wanders.
I thought you were wandering off down yonder and stumbled on to Japan pondering. Cause I need an entrance in this to intervene between me and this monster and save me from myself and all this conflict. Cause of everything that I love killing me and I can't conquer it. My OCD's talking me in the head, keep knocking. Nobody's home, I'm sleepwalking. I'm just relaying what the voice in my head saying. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just
friends with the
big night last night if you're a World Series fan, huh? The Dodgers at home. It's kind of interesting, as I was talking to my friends yesterday. You know, we all have to make prediction, right? So, I had switched sides in the middle of the World Series because I don't like the way the Dodgers run their... I don't like the way the Dodger manager manages his baseball team. There's a school of thought in baseball that says statistics rule the day. And like anything, you know, I think the French tried something like this in World War I, and it became very deductive. In terms of if they're this size and they're laying on this piece of ground, then you you need this much artillery, you need these many rounds fired in each grid square, and you roll it like this, and you do this, and so it became. Not that science and statistics shouldn't be applied, but they attempted to make it deductive. This, then this, then this. And like all human performance, there's an element of art to it. And when I say art, I guess what I mean is those are averages, right? Those statistics are averages. And so... how are averages developed? There are a whole variety of performances. And so the role of a leader in terms of a baseball team, the on-field manager who makes decisions during the game, is to manage those exceptions when he sees them. And I watched it, and having grown up in baseball, I don't like it. It almost offends me. In fact, it does offend me. That's why I switched sides. Dodgers, good young baseball team. I didn't like Jose Altuve the way he celebrates. I know that's juvenile, but that's me. But then I watched the second game of the World Series, and here's a guy pitching a one-hitter, and he gets taken out in the fourth inning. I think his name is Rich Hill. And you're watching it, and now he brings in pitcher after pitcher after pitcher that struggles on that given night. Okay, so what's the end product? The end product is he uses those arms. The next night, they get their pitcher knocked out early again, and what happens? He has to go back to all these guys, and now they pitched, and they're tired a little bit. And then they come out and they don't do it. And it affects game after game after game because of this devotion, this irrational devotion to statistics. So at that point, it became personal for me. Yeah, I know. This is all very juvenile. At that point, it became personal for me. And so, game seven last night. And if you're somebody who loves sports, game seven, in anything is pretty exciting if you're a baseball fan, certainly game seven in baseball. But baseball undergoing, I think, a renaissance I don't know if in the American public, but certainly among baseball fans because of the incredible number of young players that are in Major League Baseball right now. Young, really good players. So very fun to watch. And it was a great World Series. The back and forth, the ups and downs, and then I think a game that you will see on the MLB channel and anybody else who can get the rights to run it is the fifth game of the World Series. Just this crazy roller coaster of a game. And that will, you know, be part of baseball history. So, and then on top of it, so the game ends, right? The Astros win. So you're watching, you know, if you're a fan, you're watching, you know, the interviews after the game. And Fox has Alex Correa, who's the shortstop of the, Houston Astros. And he's talking about, winning the World Series and, you know, what an incredible moment is in his life, and, you know, one of the greatest moments in his life, but he's looking for other, you know, great moments in his life. And with that, he pulls an engagement ring out of his back pocket, and he turns to his girlfriend, and he gets on his knee. He gets on a knee on live on national TV. And you sit there going, what? What just happened? It was awesome. And she puts her hands over her face, and then she's standing there, and he says, well, will you? And she says, yes. And then she attacks his face live on national TV, which you got to love that. So, yeah, so it was very cool. We'll talk about the World Series a little bit today. Awful lot of fun. And then I'm curious, because we don't get a glimpse into the Hermit Kingdom very much. I was curious, there's no video yet posted that I can find of this defector, who is a deputy ambassador from North Korea to the United Kingdom, to Great Britain. And so, as I look for articles about it, the common themes are that information will at some point oust Kim, and that a American domestic strike would simply galvanize the population and blah, 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 blah. So I want to talk about that a little bit, because, again, a glimpse into the Hermit Kingdom doesn't happen very often. So we will talk about that. Gunnar will join us today. He had the day off yesterday. So anyway, good morning to you. We continue to wait on possibly a verdict in the Bo Bergdahl case. No explanation publicized yet for the E. coli outbreak at MCRD. But I have to say, a little bit disturbing trend in Marine Corps hygiene relative to food consumption. 29 palms, rats. Rat infestation closes a commissary. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I agree. And now this. So that's on my radar. And again, the biggest thing, nobody get fired. You got rats in the commissary. All I know is somebody's ass is getting fired today. Yeah. Sorry about that. But you can't. There's certain things that I can save you from. There's certain things that I can't save you from, and I wouldn't save you from. Yeah. So, a very good Thursday morning to you, the second day. 7 days in a wake-up until the birthday. Yeah, got that going for us. I'm actually going to be a speaker at a... I'm going to be the guest speaker. I wasn't really cool with that either. It's like, I'm pretty much nobody in the Marine Corps. Like, what do you want me to say? No, sir, look. I want you to come and speak. Okay, all right, I can do that. Now I'm like, what do I say? What do you say? So you're the guest of honor at a Marine Corps birthday. What do you say? All right, one, don't be long, okay? Two, do you have a message that would resonate with anybody as they sit there and want to eat dinner? Or do you speak before or after dinner? I can't remember. So anyway, so that's upcoming. So I've been giving that some thought. So with all of that in mind, that's right, as you go through your work day, if you have any suggestions, shoot me an email here at the program. Things to do, things to stay away from. I think there can only be one message in your talk, I think. Right? How you get there is important. Got to be brief. One message. Should have a visual that goes along with it. Okay? Should have a visual that goes along with it. Yeah, because the visual gets emblazed in their brain, and then you attach the message to the visual, and hopefully it stays there. That's if you care. Otherwise, you can just go for the free dinner. It is at a casino. Which is, you know, I've heard a lot of people that they do not like that phenomenon in the Marine Corps, and the reason is nobody stays at the ball. As soon as the music starts, you know, the Marines leave. The Marines leave and they go out in the casino, rolling around in their dress uniforms, looking for people to have fun with. Yep. And so I've heard very, very mixed reviews. While, you know, the casinos are very nice and much nicer than, you know, somebody's great room. And much nicer than having it on base or doing something like that. It's not without its. It's not the same as, you know, the your battalion together for the evening, for the majority of the evening, and then people going home or whatnot. It's like, so I don't know. So interesting. So anyway, good morning to you. We'll keep our eye on the news. See, I released a bunch of Bin Laden files yesterday. We had a discussion. Is he a combatant, or should he be prosecuted as a criminal? And I think we all know the answer to that, right? We all know the answer to that. So it's going to be interesting what is made public out of the Bin Laden files. All right, so that is a backdrop. Korean defectors, the World Series, the shortstop proposes. He had a big night, by the way. CIA releasing documents, terrorism in Manhattan. As that is a backdrop, good morning to you. And the United States Marine Corps Band, as always, makes it official.
my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I got an email I'll share with you about the whole the little Jack Nicholson thing. The audio from A Few Good Men. Check the weather around the world, around Marineland. Yeah, not to be confused with a place where you go watch whales. Currently, mostly cloudy at 59 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune, mostly cloudy in 69. Granbury warmed up. Mostly sunny in 70. Montana cooled off. Clouds, snow in there yesterday. 27 degrees in Montana. 29 Palms, getting cool. 53 degrees under sunny sky. Pendleton, 58 under clouds. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 76. Rocket into the 60s now as winter comes to Syria. Cloudy, 69 degrees in Raqqa. Marja, pretty nice evening in Marja, if you happen to be there. Clear, dark in 76. Currently cloudy in 63 here on the West Coast. Southern California, looking for a high today of 69 degrees. Winds will be out of the southeast at 4. Tomorrow 70, Saturday 69. I like between 69, 75 degrees. Set the thermostat there. Nice during the day. Cool at night. No crazy heat or anything like that. All right, when we come back, we're going to check news headlines. I have another email that's pretty funny after Jack Nicholson. It's about those women that were at sea. The guy who wrote this says, did they really want to be rescued? Their boat certainly looked like crap. But if you have an emergency beacon, aren't you supposed to use it? It also, look at the picture of the boat. The main mast looks like it's completely intact. The sail looks like it's mostly intact. What was going on out there? You know what? You're not the only one asking that question. So when we come back, we'll entertain that. Very briefly. Okay, very briefly. So, good Thursday morning to you. Bob Nielsen takes it away.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Here on a Thursday. Okay, I don't have, just for the record, I don't have a fully developed theory about these two women out on the high seas in their sailboat. Yeah. So they're in what's known as what, a cruiser sailboat? And so it's not made for day sailing. It's made to go long distances. So it has, built inside the hull, inside the boat itself, not the hull, but built inside is a large storage capacity for water. So, when the story breaks, this person's email is like, what's wrong with this? When the story breaks, it's like they've been found after 5 months at sea. 5 months at sea? Wow. Now, what do you expect to see? You expect to see Tom Hanks in Castaway, right? Loincloth, face all, jacked up. And really, what you see is, except for some, sunburned lips, they look pretty normal. They look healthy. Okay. Well, that certainly looks odd for being gone for 5 months. I mean, they don't look emaciated or any of that. Okay. And then the report comes that their emergency beacon is on board and it's fully functioning. Okay. So now it's like, all right. I think that, maybe the first month, if I was out there with my girlfriend, maybe I could find ways to amuse myself. Okay, but after, maybe the first month, first of all, that whoever, if you were a guy and, you took your girl out there, she's not lasting a month. If she knows there's an emergency beacon, okay, this is not what I signed up for, okay? Drifting in the ocean? Are you stupid? Yeah. So I don't have a fully developed conclusion, I guess my point. At some point when these things happen, but the email is right. If you look at the boat itself, on the hull, right, it's all algae. This, growth that, come on, somebody should have gotten in the water and scrubbed that off. It's disgusting. Right? This is our boat. This is our home. And now we're going to just let it all become nastified while we sit here and do what all day? And then what happens when we lose our satellite connection? We can't get the news? Do we have power on the boat? I don't know that we do. How is power generated on the ship? By the engine? Fuel? Is that the way we recharge the batteries? I think it is. It's not like a submarine, right? Has a series of batteries and engines, World War II submarines, right? So they'd operate on their engines during the day. They'd recharge all these batteries, and then at night they'd flip the switch. No more engine. Noise cavitation, as it's known. Somebody just got arrested for shooting people at Walmart. Anyway. I don't have a fully developed I will know at some point. I certainly need more information to come out. And I think they have to do an investigation if the Coast Guard rescued them. Right? So you used American money and assets to rescue these stranded boaters. I think there has to be some kind of explanation of what happened and why United States Coast Guard or Navy had to get involved. So anyway, it is certainly an interesting Interesting story. I'll get to the early bird here in a second. I'll tell you what, why don't I do the early bird first? Because sometimes if I do Marine Corps Times headlines, it steals the thunder of the early bird. So anyway, top five stories in the early bird today. Minor quality control issue creates new problem for the F-35. Lockheed Martin stopped F-35 deliveries for a month. But even more time will be needed to roll out a fix for the impacted jets across the fleet. So, I guess it's to be expected, but not something you want to hear. Why? Because we need those aircraft and we need them to work and we don't need any bullshit about it. And the more these delays happen, the worse it is for the nation. Second headline, Navy crews at fault in fatal collisions, according to two investigations. I have this to say about that. Because of the World Series, I did not get a chance to read both investigations, but I will. And I will report to you the findings, my findings, the All Marine Radio findings, relative to those two investigations. What I'm most curious on in each investigation is this. Has the Navy completely done away with watches external to the ship while they're underway at sea? If you listened yesterday, kind of documented quickly, and I would recommend you go through and take a look at those investigations. They're pretty interesting. The schematics are helpful. Even if you just flip through the graphics of it. You'll get a good understanding of what happened. But my question is, have we completely done away with watch standards external to the ship while we're underway? I don't think that's a good thing, if they have. I don't think that is. In neither case did anybody sound a collision alarm. Now, here's what I find really odd about that. In the world of simulations, for instance, when we're pier-side in Yokosuka, I'm sure they've got a simulator somewhere that simulates the bridge. And we go to the bridge, it's like going to the weight room, and we exercise our muscles. And we go over this drill, and then we go over that drill, and we do the different watch teams in there, right? And it's just the ops guys. You know, and they call it the CIC, where the TAO, Tactical Action Officer, hangs out. So it would be our version of the COC. So that's deeper in the ship as opposed to the bridge. So you go and you exercise your muscles. How to drive the ship, how to react to different things, collisions, blah, 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 blah. Right? Watch teams, getting their reps. Yep. So I'm most curious, like, why no collision alarm? No going to general quarters in the 60 seconds. And again, when you hear that alarm, your first, if you've ever heard it for real, your first, if you're asleep, and I was, your first, you sit up, and, well, here's the first thing. You're asleep, right? So you're screwed up to begin with. But, two, As an officer, I was the executive officer of the Marine Detachment, if there was going to be a drill, a general quarters drill, unannounced to the ship, I would know about it, right? Because they would make sure. And you would also hear, this is a drill, all hands, man your battle stations. Weep, 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 you'd hear the general quarters alarm. So you're sleeping, and all of a sudden, you're woken up by this thing, and it's loud, blasting throughout the ship. and you look around,
right,
and you're not hearing this is a drill, and all of a sudden you get a jolt of adrenaline through your body that you don't know what's going on, but the ship's going to general quarters. That's a big deal. All right, so sitting up might take, what, 5 seconds? I'll give you another 5 seconds to knock the cobwebs out, and all of a sudden you know that something bad. So let's just say you have 50 seconds to jump out of your bed, grab something, and head up a ladder. You know, I would venture to say that many of the guys who died would not have died. And that's so. So two things that I've been dying to hear, that obviously the Navy wasn't, that the Navy certainly wasn't releasing. So I'm most curious to read about those two things. Number three story. The UK Defense Secretary resigns amid allegations about behavior. Britain's defense minister resigned Wednesday after allegations emerged about inappropriate sexual behavior, the latest twist in a growing scandal over harassment and abuse in the country's corridors of power. Wow. Next story is a story that ran in Marine Corps Times yesterday. Hundreds of Marine recruits sick at San Diego boot camp. And then the next story is CIA releases massive trove of Osama bin Laden files. I'll tell you what, you will be reading about that for months as people mine that, little treasure trove of information. This story comes out of the longwarsjournal.org, and they have advocated. They've advocated for the release of these files since he was killed, and they were yoked up in 2011. How about that? Do you remember that for a crazy morning? I was in Afghanistan, and I walked into work at about 4:30 in the morning. And there was a buzz in the room that normally wasn't there. And I looked around to Chris Robinson, who had my job at night. And I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, "I don't know, man." He said, "But there's rumor going around that Osama bin Laden's been killed." I said, "Who killed him?" He said, "Evidently we did." I said, "Have you seen anything?" He said, "No. No, nothing like, you know, the way we communicate, nothing in our communications." So, and then we were concerned, like, well, what are the Afghans going to do when it's announced that we've killed bin Laden? Are they going to go ape shit? Are we going to wind up fighting today more than normal? So, you know, we were talking to our subordinate battalions and making sure everybody knows what's going on. And, you know, and we're at 100% alert. And the people have heightened, you know, increased security measures on everything we're doing because we don't know. Ultimately, what the Afghans say to us is like, "Yeah, we don't care about him. He's your guy." Really? Yeah. We want Mullah Omar dead. We don't care about Osama bin Laden, which is interesting. All right. So here are things that you can see in those documents. You can see bin Laden's son. Right? You can see pictures of him. You can examine bin Laden's personal journal, 228 pages. Bin Laden was in charge of Al-Qaeda's global network. There are documents in there about that. Other files provide new details concerning Al-Qaeda's relationship with Iran. In a series of designations and other official statements issued since July of 2011, the U.S. Treasury and State Department have repeatedly targeted Al-Qaeda's core facilitation pipeline inside Iran. So, be kind of interesting, right? Let's see. Long War Journal. This is them in a series of bullets. The files are vital for understanding the history of the Iraqi insurgency and al-Qaeda's role in it. An assessment of bin Laden's support network in Pakistan will require careful analysis. How about that? Interesting stuff. And then there's an article with Associated Press and a number of different newspapers have carried, and that is the and I was talking about it yesterday because you simply don't see it very often. And the highest ranking defector from North Korea is a gentleman by the name of Thae Yong Ho, former deputy mission chief, not deputy ambassador, deputy mission chief at the North Korean embassy in London. He underscored the high risk yesterday in front of the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee. Now, I wanted to play that, but because he certainly has to speak English, yes? He's the highest level North Korean defector in two decades. And appeared to confirm what has long been suspected but rarely articulated by U.S. officials, that even a selective American strike could rain a potentially devastating North Korean military response on the South Korean capital and its environs about 25 miles south of the heavily fortified DMZ. Thae, who is making his first trip to Washington since his defection last year, said the U.S. and allied South Korea would win a war after a preventative military strike on North Korea, but there would be a human sacrifice inflicted on the South from the tens of thousands of artillery guns and short-range missiles the North has at its frontier. Quote, North Korean officers are trained to press their button without any further instructions from the general command if anything happens on their side, they told the Foreign Affairs Committee, referring to a U.S. bombing or missile strike. We have to remember that tens of millions of South Korean population are living 7 to 80 kilometers away from this military demarcation line. He urged Washington to use soft power, enforcing sanctions and disseminating information, challenging North Korea propaganda to turn people against Kim's authoritarian government. He also contended that if China allowed an exit route for North Korean defectors without fear of forcible repatriation, there would be a massive exodus to the South that would cause collapse of the North Korean system. How about that? Let's open up the border there, sports fans. North Korea has called Thae human scum, accused him of embezzling government money and committing other crimes. So, again, pretty interesting because we simply don't see, we don't see defectors of his rank ever. So, we'll see if we can find him. And you know, yesterday he was quoted saying, you know, and something that I've said, what will topple the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, and the Jordanian, as well as Assad himself, ultimately will be the free flow of information. Can't stop it. And now in this digital age, you know, Saddam, you know, he controlled information into Iraq. You know, the biggest thing being smuggled, satellite dishes. No. They want to know. Young people will find out. And they will question. So, anyway, I think one of the most interesting stories is this guy. And again, if we can contain, the question is, How do you? Here's what I think. So what's acceptable? I think you deploy, you know, nuclear weapons to South Korea. You deploy nuclear weapons to Japan, and they both have the ability to defend themselves. You lean on China to open up a route for defectors. And you slowly wait, and does that mean you're going to have to live with him? I think for a certain amount of time you do. And do we have military options? Yes, but they're not good ones. Do the South Koreans pay the butcher bill because now all of a sudden the United States is under the umbrella? That's a tough decision right there. So interesting discussion. And in some audio that we played earlier this week, both Secretary Mattis and Secretary Tillerson asked Congress for authorization of military force without an end date. And again, Secretary Mattis was very clear in terms of, hey, we have everything we need right now. And it was done in 2001 and 2002. I know you want to dust that thing off, but you don't have the consensus to do that. Email, hey, Mac, where the hell is Uzbekistan? Okay, get Google Earth, okay? Now, you know where Iran is, right? Okay, so you know where Iraq is. Okay, you leave Iraq, then you head north and west, and you run into Iran. From Iran, if you continue to go north, you hit Turkmenistan. Okay, from Iran, in the center of Iran, if you go east, did I say west? If you're in Iraq and you go north, right, you hit Iran. If while you're standing in Iran, you go east, you hit Afghanistan. If you go north, you hit Turkmenistan. If you continue north, you hit Uzbekistan. The only one of those stands I've been to is Kyrgyzstan. Yeah, I went there. On the way home from Afghanistan. Hung out at an old Soviet base. Watched movies. I watched, what's the movie? A buddy of mine, Chris Bronzy, and I went. We thought we were going to see Thor, and we saw Bridesmaids. Yeah, it was awesome. Laughed our asses off. We saw it wasn't going to be Thor, and we said... And he looks at me and goes, should we stay? I said, what the hell else are we going to do? We're here for 4 days to decompress, so why not? We laughed our asses off. Bridesmaids, pretty funny movie. Pretty funny movie. Yeah, so that's the general reason of Uzbekistan. Also, one other story, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll check the headlines in Marine Corps Times, and that is... The defense minister of Niger has asked the U.S. to deploy armed drones against militants. Yeah, we like that. This is from Reuters. Niger has asked the United States to start using armed drones against jihadist groups operating along the Mali border, raising the stakes in a counterinsurgency campaign jolted by a deadly ambush of allied U.S. Nigerian forces. On October 4th, blah, 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 blah. And that's when the four soldiers were killed. Quote, I asked them some weeks ago to arm them, the drones in parentheses, and use them as needed, Defense Minister Kala Monteri told Reuters in an interview in his office. Asked if Washington had accepted the request, he said, our enemies will find out. Yeah, the drone thing. That's bad juju. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll turn over to Marine Corps Times. whole bunch of news there today. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio on Thursday, coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with a serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Toby Keith, True American.
Testimony continues at the court-martial of a Paris Island drill instructor. And the testimony is pretty amazing, honestly. A Kurdish Marine says Paris Island's DI singled him out for hazing. Gunnery Sergeant Joseph Felix made the lives of all of his recruits hell. For example, when one recruit puked in his chocolate milk, Felix made the squad leader drink it. But the drill instructor seemed to be especially dislike Muslims, a former Marine testified on Wednesday. Former Marine Rakan Hawaz, born in Iraqi Kurdistan, is one of three Muslim recruits whom Felix is accused of abusing at Paris Island. You know, maybe I'm, like, not the right person to comment on this because, so, somebody pukes and you make somebody else drink it? Testifying at Felix's court-martial at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina on Wednesday, Hawaz said that Felix's wrath was not limited to Muslims. In separate incidents, Felix allegedly punched a recruit in the jaw, slapped a rifle against another recruit's ear so hard that his ear bled. Could have been an accident. But Hawaz, who attended boot camp between April and July of 2015, how is he out of the Marine Corps already, said Felix treated him differently after he discovered that he was Kurdish. From that point on, he knew I was Middle Eastern. I felt I was getting singled out much more. Felix started calling him ISIS, terrorist, and Kurdish. Felix often punished Hawaz by making him do extra burpees, push-ups, and other forms of, quote-unquote, incentive training. And then they talk about the Paris Islands rules, blah, 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 blah. Felix is accused of choking, hitting, and stomping on recruits, and if convicted, could face years in the brig. His charge sheet is 6 pages long and lists numerous allegations of abuse against recruits in 3 platoons. He is charged with violation of a general order, maltreatment, dereliction of duty, making a false official statement, being drunk and disorderly, and obstruction of justice, the latter charges for allegedly telling recruits not to discuss recruit Siddiqui's death. He's the most high-profile Marine yet to face a court-martial for the alleged hazing at Paris Island that has thrown the Marine Corps, that has roiled the Marine Corps since Siddiqui's death in March of 2016. Siddiqui's family is suing the Marine Corps for $100 million, claiming the 20-year-old Muslim recruit's death was caused by hazing and negligence at multiple levels of command. Hawaz's testimony on Wednesday reinforced claims that Felix singled out Muslims for abuse. one night, Hawaz said Felix woke up recruits, ordered them to squeeze their way into a room with a large commercial clothing dryer. Hawaz testified that he could smell alcohol on Felix's breath at the time. The recruits were laying so close together on the floor that Felix and two other drill instructors were physically walking over them. While in the room, Felix pointed to a dryer and told Hawaz, "Hey, ISIS, get in." He climbed inside, closed the door. After about 15 seconds, Felix ordered him to get out without turning the dryer on, he said. Hawaz is the second Marine to accuse Felix of forcing him into a dryer. We read the testimony of Lance Corporal Namir Bormash yesterday. And he was put in a dryer, and it was turned on twice. And he was let out once he said he was no longer a Muslim. Hawaz said he was separated from the Marine Corps in June under other than honorable conditions. Not that that has any bearing on this, so I'd be curious to know what it is. Felix, defense attorney, claimed Hawaz's testimony is an effort to retaliate against the Marine Corps and question the Kurdish recruit's credibility by saying he only told investigators that he had been ordered into the dryer after reading about the incident. Another former drill instructor, Staff Sergeant Aaron Gallipu, told jurors on Wednesday that he was there when Felix and Eldridge ordered recruits to get into the dryer room. But Gallipu did not see any recruits get inside a dryer while he was there. Gallipu is also accused of abusing recruits, but he reached a pretrial agreement with prosecutors and was not charged. Gallipu testified that on the night of the dryer room incident, he, Felix, and Eldridge spent about 2 hours drinking Fireball cinnamon whiskey that Felix had brought from his locker. When they returned to the barracks, Felix and Eldridge ordered all the recruits to run into the dryer room and do push-ups and squats, said Gallipu, who called the episode chaotic and unwarranted. He also confirmed that Gallipu and other drill instructors walked on top. I think they miswrote that. Gallipu confirms that Felix and other drill instructors walked on top of the recruits because they were squeezed into such a small space. He said he did not report what had happened because he did not want to get punished. "I knew I'd be sitting in this chair if I did report it," Gallipu said. "No matter how you look at it, someone would have to pay for what happened." Pretty pathetic state that gets painted of Paris Island. Yeah, pretty pathetic. You know, somebody wrote me an email recently talking about Gunner always bad-mouthing staff NCOs. And kind of said it was bullshit and blah, 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 blah. You know, I will tell you that the hazing that exists in the Marine Corps exists because the staff NCOs of the Marine Corps allow it to exist. If they chose to put the emphasis on it, they could make it stop. And the recruit depots, the officers are there, and Kurt Knowles has worked down there. You know, and he'll tell you, you know, my job was hopefully to save these guys often from themselves. But the officers were put into series because of past transgressions. They weren't originally there. It is a very, very enlisted heavy evolution at the recruit depots. And again, I'm not sure how they police themselves. Now, the other thing that's curious is it seems to that most of this, and again, I'm not naive enough to think all of it, but most of this is confined resides at Parris Island. So what is the deal at Parris Island? Does going over that causeway make guys lose their mind? Some guys will tell you straight up yes. Putting on that campaign cover, pretty heady experience for Steph Encio. Now you're that guy. Can you handle that kind of authority? Can you handle that kind of responsibility? And so here you have a sergeant that sees this going on after they go drinking, and he knows he's supposed to report it, but he doesn't. And again, that's just part of his testimony. So pretty disturbing picture, honestly. Another story kind of interesting. U.S. Air Force colonel confines Marine general to quarters in the USS Cole trial. A Marine Brigadier General in charge of war court defense teams faces 21 days of confinement after being found guilty of contempt of court by an Air Force colonel for refusing to testify about releasing three attorneys from the defense team for the alleged mastermind of the USS Cole bombing for a secret ethics conflict involving attorney-client privilege. Brigadier General John Baker has refused to testify or return lawyers to the case, attempting to tell the judge, Colonel Vance Spath, that the war court's attempt to try alleged terrorists who are not U.S. citizens had no jurisdiction over him. Spath ruled that Baker's decision to release the three civilians, Pentagon-paid attorneys from the case, was null and void and ordered the three to testify before him, either in person or on video feed next week. Yeah. How about that, General? Confined to quarters. So, yeah, interesting. And they can't disclose what the breach of attorney-client privilege, because it's echelons above secret. So, no new information about recruits being sick. Recruits at both Edson Range and the Recruit Depot have been impacted. So, film at 11. Bo Bergdahl update. Bergdahl's mental disorder factored in his desertion. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. Difficult childhood and his washout from Coast Guard boot camp. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh, right? You wash out of Coast Guard boot camp? Come on now. Oh, my God. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's difficult childhood, I'll try to be more professional, and his washout from Coast Guard boot camp stoked serious psychiatric disorders that helped spur him to walk off his remote post in Afghanistan in 2009, a psychiatrist testified Wednesday. How bullshit is that? Dr. Charles Morgan said the soldier was already suffering from schizophrenic-like condition and post-traumatic stress disorder when he disappeared in Afghanistan. Morgan was a final defense witness in sentencing, and closing arguments are expected today. Forensic psychiatrists and interviews with family and childhood friends, as well as lengthy exam of Bergdahl convinced him the soldier was suffering from schizotypal personality disorder when he disappeared in Afghanistan. He said he concurred with an Army Sanity Board document that previously made the diagnosis public. Morgan believes Bergdahl had post-traumatic stress disorder before his 2008 Army enlistment, largely due to growing up with a quick-tempered father. Symptoms of anxiety and tunnel vision sometimes present when he interacted with his father. Oh, my God. In 2006, he had a panic attack that caused the Coast Guard to discharge him. Yeah, go down that rabbit hole, right? And what are you going to find? He was a shitbird. And the Coast Guard knew it. How's he get in the Army and stay? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, Bo Bergdahl, closing arguments today. And And we'll see what happens when he's sentenced, huh? Yeah. Could be a huge, you know, Bergdahl's a scapegoat for the whole war. Everybody's going to go William Calley. Oh, Calley. He's being crucified for something everybody did. Yeah. Yeah, interesting, interesting stuff. You know, here's a report that you see that because you don't, you know, you're not aware of it, that, I mean, it goes on all the time. But here's the report. Report, Hornet scrambled to intercept Russian jets near a carrier. This happens all the time. And now you see it in the headline, like, oh my God. Oh my God, what happened? Yeah, this is one of the top headlines right now on Military Times. Two F-18 Hornets scrambled Sunday to intercept two Russian bombers that were flying towards the aircraft, Ronald Reagan, CNN reported. Probably to the Situation Room. Whoop, 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 whoop. Navy officials did not immediately confirm details of the incident. The Hornets were dispatched from the Reagan after Russian Tu-95s were in the vicinity of the carrier, CNN reported, citing two defense officials. The bombers flew within about 80 miles of the Reagan before the U.S. jets escorted them without incident. Sunday's incident comes as the Japan-based Reagan is joined in the 7th Fleet waters by the Nimitz and the Theodore Roosevelt strike groups, a rare occurrence that comes as President Trump prepares to travel to South Korea. Yeah. Getting those carrier battle groups out there. Okay, now let me tell you what happens for real. What happens is when you get within operating distance of various countries, they come out and they look. And then you run intercepts on them. And there's rules for this to be done, and it happens all the time. And people take pictures, and that's the way it is when you're part of a carrier battle group. Yeah. When we were off the coast, when I was on the USS Ranger, when we were off the coast of South Korea, I think we're in the Sea of Japan, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on. Let me pull up a map. And we, on one side, we had a Russian SIGINT ship. Yeah. And what they were doing was they were recording our electromagnetic signature. That's right. And they could have been more than 1,000 yards away from us. And on another side, there was a frigate. And wherever we went, they went. And they kept their, they kept enough distance from us. I guess enough professional distance. But the, yeah. And that was just the way it was. They were doing their R&D on our electromagnetic signature. And so they could identify our ship when it was moving. Or identify carriers by their electromagnetic signature. So a big game of chicken that gets played, that used to get played across the Pacific. And part of that game was, you know, can you get across the Pacific without them finding you. The big game, though, was, could you get across the Pacific? They would fly, what were they, Bear Delta bombers? They were huge things that were reconnaissance aircraft. Yeah, that's what that thing is. The Tupolev Tu-95, four-engine turboprop-powered strategic bomber and missile platform. And they fly those things out of Vladivostok, I believe. And so they would get word that carrier battle groups leaving, by hanging out in the barbershops of San Diego or Oceanside if there were Marines on it. And so they would come looking for us. What we would do, it was kind of interesting. What we would do is we would have the nuclear power guided missile cruiser Long Beach with us as part of our battle group. And the Long Beach was a really odd looking cruiser because it had this big kind of rectangular box above the bridge. So it was very, very easily identifiable. But the game that got played was we would leave as the battle group, and the Ranger, we would sail in one direction, and then the Long Beach would sail in another direction. We would turn off all of our electronics, and the Russians would be looking for us. And so we would increase speed, turn off all of our electronics, and go. The Long Beach would go in a different direction. So let's just say we went southwest, they would go northwest. And they would turn up, right? They would turn up the speed and they would get someplace. And then they would begin to broadcast our recordings along and they would simulate being a carrier battle group with the different nets and broadcasting, whatever. However you simulate your electromagnetic signature. They also had an array of lights. Yeah, interesting stuff. None of it's classified, so just so you know. They had an array of lights on the ship that they could lower and extend to appear to be, right, the night outline of an aircraft carrier. And we'd play this game of chicken. On one of our deployments, we got to Okinawa before they found us. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. But when you're, if you can envision the Korean Peninsula in your head, close your eyes, all right, take yourself from Uzbekistan to the Korean Peninsula. So when you're in the Sea of Japan, okay, so you got China, right? And then you have to the northeast, you have Russia. And then between South Korea and Vietnam and Japan lies kind of in a crescent. And it extends from south of Korea kind of to midway up the peninsula, extending itself to the east. Okay, so that is Japan. So when you enter the Sea of Japan, we would routinely be accompanied by Russian vessels. And it was pretty weird. All of a sudden, one day you look out, here's the Hammer and Sickle right next to you. You can see their sailors on the deck. And doing their thing. And so it would go. Watching them do their stuff. And they'd follow you around till you left the AO. My favorite story relative to being escorted by Russians is we were Gonzo Station, for those of you who don't know, used to be, before we went into the Persian Gulf, right, it's the part of, it's right at the northern end of the North Arabian Sea, right? Everybody knows where the Straits of Hormuz are, okay? It's that choke point at the southern end of the Persian Gulf. So carriers did not go into the Persian Gulf. So what we would do is we would go and, you know, drive, hang out on Gonzo Station, which is that area kind of as the Gulf of Oman widens out into the Indian Ocean. You hang out around there, launching and trapping aircraft, and the aircraft are flying up and down the Gulf. You have tankers up there. So we're doing all that stuff. But that's how it used to be before we started going into into the Persian Gulf. So we had left San Diego. We had got to Okinawa secretly. Yeah. Cue the James Bond music. Then. That's right. Hold on. I have James Bond music someplace. Yeah, if I'm not going to play it, why do I have it? Exactly. Yeah, we get to Okinawa, and they hadn't found us. So we don't even get to get off the ship in Okinawa. We're there for like 24, 36 hours, taking on, I think, units and, you know, stuff like that. And some munitions and whatnot. So then we leave there. We're supposed to go to the Philippines and spend about 5 days in the Philippines doing stuff, for the ship. And then we're supposed to go to Singapore, and then we're supposed to go to the IO. Well, what happens is Typhoon is headed inbound to the Philippines. So what do you do when a typhoon is headed to your port? You go to sea, right? You don't let the ship get beat up pier side. So we go to sea, we sail out of it, and then we spent 3 days in Singapore, and then boom, to the Indian Ocean, and we stayed there for 105 days, which is a pretty long time. After 90 days at sea, the Navy, I don't know if it still does, but it had this tradition of everybody in the crew gets two beers. So we sail south, and when you sail south out of the Persian Gulf area, you have Somalia, right there. So we sail south, I don't know, about 150 miles, and we're going to do Steel Beach. So, but we're guarding nuclear weapons, if they were on the ship, which I can't confirm or deny. So half Marines are on duty, the other half are not, and so I'm working in the morning, and they've got grills going, they've got pools filled with salt water up on the flight deck, they've got Steel Beach, you know, you can wear civilian clothes, you know, it's kind of play day on the aircraft carrier. And so I remember going up on the flight deck when I got there. And I had a pair of shorts on and a green T-shirt, I think, at the time. And as I come up, like, on the aft part of the flight deck, okay? And so as I'm walking up a ladder to get to the flight deck, outside, and you know what? And because you can, you know, it's not like you hang out outside, you know, when you're at sea, you work. And so everybody's pasty pale. And people that have been out in the sun for an hour are getting sunburned and stuff. But they're drinking beer, so they don't give a shit. And the beer was nasty because not all of it was cold. But it didn't matter, right? And because half the crew's working, instead of everybody getting two, everybody's getting four. And then there's people that don't drink. So now some people are getting six. Yeah, exactly. You can imagine. So the as I'm walking onto the flight deck, I hear the air boss say over the, you know, the 1M, I don't know if it was 1MC, but it was a flight deck PA. He said, let's give him a big Ranger welcome. And this was a Russian aircraft out of Somalia, a reconnaissance aircraft known as an IL-38 May. So it comes flying down the port side, and everybody's waving. And I look at the aircraft, and they're taking pictures, and then I look back up at the flight deck, and three-quarters of the flight deck has their pants down, right? Some, you know, giving them an ass shot, some giving them full frontal nudity. And the Russian crew is there, you know, they're waving. Right, you can see him waving through the windows, and then the Russian plane he puts on an air show for us. He's flying around. He's doing loops, right? And he comes by once, and he does this barrel roll thing. And, you know, and it was funny. Yeah, right up in the middle of the I.O. After he does his little air show, he flies. It couldn't have been more than, it looked like 200 feet off the port side of the ship, and they wave goodbye. And you could see him, you know, you could see him waving and whatnot and taking pictures. And I thought, you know, somewhere in Russia, these dudes have an awesome picture of all these sailors, mostly sailors, some Marines, with their pants down around their ankles. their junk in their hand, half of them, and the other half spreading their ass cheeks. It must be a great picture, though. And they have those good reconnaissance cameras, so that would have been good. It would have been a good picture blown up. But anyway, yeah. So the whole dance, at least it used to be, with the Russians relative to intercepting and things like that, are just things that happen when you get within proximity. And they like to let you know that, yeah, we're still around. We're still around. But it was always interesting. You know, you just one day you come out and here's the hammer and sickle, like staring at you, 500 meters off the port beam. And they're out there looking at you with binoculars and waving at you and whatnot. So anyway, so this is a big headline. It happens on a regular basis. So anyway, all right, we're late for a break. I've got a couple more news stories and a couple of emails I want to get to here on a Thursday. The big tax thing getting rolled out right now. We'll see if it has any legs. President also being encouraged by Michelle Obama not to tweet everything he thinks. I'm sure he'll take that on board. Hillary Clinton in the news today. Evidently, there's the book that Donna Brazile wrote talks about how Hillary Clinton took over the Democratic National Party, which is really interesting, because Donna Brazile, she's an invention of the Clintons, yes? Yeah. And so, but she, not without her issues. So, her book. And why would she do that? Why else? Money. Team Spirit, 1989. We got a little libo and went to Pohang and went different directions. Our senior first lieutenant ends up down in the piers gawking at a Soviet ship, gets invited to board for a tour. He accepts. Back in Chilpo Beach, he's all grins, bragging about how cool it was. About an hour later, he gets summoned to report to higher headquarters for a debrief, ass-chewing regarding how uniformed Marine officers are not to be hanging out with Russians. Yeah, can I just give everybody some advice out there? The Russians are not what they appear to be. Okay? They are devious, conniving human beings. And so if you think that interacting with them is a good thing, you should probably run that one up the flagpole. You should probably run that. Now, encountering them on Liberty, you know, was interesting. Like in Hong Kong and places like that, where they would make port visits. That was always interesting. And, you know, provided, I mean, like, none of us spoke Russian. And, but when you were around them, you know, one, yo, they can drink. Like, you don't even know about. Yeah, like, vodka is water. Literally. And because they know we can't drink like they do, they love to drink. So I never really I didn't participate. The few times I walked in and saw that, I turned around and left. I'm respectful. I don't like to get in trouble. Not that I haven't, but I tend to be respectful. But yeah, so, and again, this whole, it's not a tangent, but hold on, let me read you this. So the last 2 days, you've read stories about the behavior of various staff NCOs at Parris Island. I have to tell you, if what you're reading is true and accurate, what in God's name is going on in the Marine Corps? What are we raising? Not that this shit hasn't gone on in the past, but with all the visibility that this stuff gets, you would think that Marine staff non-commissioned officers would have more sense in this shit. As a retired one, this kind of stuff irritates me like I cannot even tell you. And to call a young recruit a terrorist isn't just fucking with him. I believe yesterday, Mac, you mentioned calling people glasses, or you even talked about a story about a guy named Creature because of his acne. Even that's a little rough, but it's how it goes. All harmless, based on the way you look. When we're at war with the nation, and you begin singling out, by religion, recruits, and hazing them, that's disgusting. Those young men and women are helpless. I actually looked up the story you read yesterday about that gunnery sergeant using a McMap belt to put one of the recruits in a stress position and then had him simulate slitting another recruit's throat as a terrorist. If that kind of stuff can go on without the appropriate mechanisms to put an end to it, something is drastically wrong with what we're doing. That is sadistic. That is unprofessional as it gets. And I would hope that this gunnery sergeant is made an example of. But I hope it doesn't stop with him. There were people that were supposed to supervise him. I hope they get it just as hard as he does. Because this is sick stuff. The junior sergeant not wanting to rat them out is typical, though, I hate to tell you. The concept of being a snitch, not something we care for in the Marine Corps. Enjoy the program. A much, much, much early happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Devil. More of All-Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. We continue on a Thursday. Email. Hey, I missed the post game. When did Korea propose to his girlfriend? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's awesome. And you're sitting there going, did I just see that? What just happened? Yeah, they're doing like the, you know, the normal, hey, you know, you've been together for this time and a seven-game series. What's going through your head? They're doing that. And then all of a sudden he's talking about his life and, he wants his life to get better. And he turns and he says, gets down on a knee and he pulls this ring out. Oh my God! It was awesome. Honestly, it was great. It was great. And here I'll play you the audio here, and you can listen for yourself.
Right now, I'm about to take another big step in my life.
Okay, so now that's
Daniela
him.
Rodriguez.
That's him, and he's with Ken Rosenthal, right? It's like, this is a big step for me, and I want to take another big step in my life. He reaches in his back pocket. All right, so let me rewind this for you. All right, so I should have set it up. So he's talking to Ken Rosenthal. Now, he had told his teammates and his manager that if we win tonight, I'm gonna propose, you know, to my girl. Are you guys, you know, just so you know. And so they said, yeah, we all knew. And the manager said, I looked at him and said, yeah, okay, I'll manage different, try to get this thing done for you. And they all seemed to have a good time with it. And he said, he told the clubhouse guy, hey, come here. He said, if we win, he said, I don't want to jinx anything. If we win, you bring this down to me in the dugout. Kid said, okay. And it was just a huge, huge diamond ring. So anyway, with that as the background, here's the audio. All right, he's talking to Ken Rosenthal.
Right now I'm about to take another big step in my life.
Grabs the
Daniela
ring.
Daniela Rodriguez. You make me the happiest man in the world. Will you marry me? Will you marry me?
Oh my God!
Straight up gets down on a knee on TV. She's standing on the other side of this rope with other, I guess, wives and girlfriends and family members. And then she breaks down the rope. Then, anyway, other people watching it. So that happened live on TV.
Oh my God.
Yes. It goes like this.
Yeah, and the ring is like it's something befitting of a guy making that kind of money. And he's going to make a lot more, too. But, didn't something like that happen? A football player at Boise State or something did something like that. And, pretty unique. Pretty unique. And I'll tell you what, I've got a couple emails about the World Series. Matt, clearly the star of the World Series was David Ortiz. You know what? I had never seen that much of that guy. And he's got a little bit of personality. He is going to be the Latin, you know, Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan went from playing for the Giants to, you know, what is he now? The host of Good Morning America after Michael and Kelly. But David Ortiz, he has that kind of, he's funny, big personality. You can see, you know, how he got the name Big Poppy and how he became the center of that baseball club in Boston. The one that he told a funny story yesterday about meeting Denzel Washington. He said Denzel Washington's a Yankee fan. He said, and I met him or ran across him when we were playing in the playoffs, and he was like, whatever. And he said, so then after we won the World Series, the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004, I think that was the year. He said, I went on the owner of the Red Sox had a yacht in the Mediterranean. And he said, so he invited me to go on it. So, you know, we were cruising around the Med, we walk into this restaurant in some city, and from the other side of the room, he says, I hear, my man, right? And he said, from Denzel Washington. He said, and he came over with that big smile he's got. He gave me a hug. He said, come on. And then David Ortiz, he's very funny. Come on, man. You know you're all right when Denzel Washington's yelling, my man, across the restaurant at you. So, very entertaining, though. Baseball, enjoying a bit of a renaissance, partly at football's expense, I believe. And but, again, a lot of young, exciting, talented players. And a lot of great baseball in the postseason. So, I do believe that the NFL has something to do with it, that people are sick and tired. They want to be entertained, right? Sports is escape for the rest of us. When we turn on sports, we don't want the shit that we see all day on the news, that some of it we talk about here. I don't want that shoved in my face. You're an entertainer. You want to do politics? Go do it on your own time. Don't jam it down my face. And so it seems like, you know, and again, I even thought about it last night during the national anthem for the World Series. You know, like, how cool is it that we don't have to worry about, you know, somebody, you know, using it as their own form? That for this period of time, we stand together and we salute the nation and yada, yada, yada. You know, it was awesome. It was awesome. And look, I'm not saying that we don't have, you know, those problems, and we talked about how to solve them here on this program. And that you would find a lot of veterans that would love to get involved in programs, leadership programs, in cities. You'd find, you know, guys like Mike that would love to get involved in teaching, you know, decision making, you know, high stress, compressed time decision making. You know, so veterans are all about helping out. But it was just, I think, very cool. And again, we've talked about it. Football, the National Football League in particular, has a problem. They can't get out of this thing that they're in. And the problem is so bad that the owner of, coincidentally, the Houston, Texas, he says something that players find offensive, and what's the protest mechanism they use to vent their spleen? The national anthem. So it just, you know, sometimes it defies logic. Here's another email. Mac, back to those two women at sea. Why can't we all just tell the truth? You talk about All Marine Radio being about the truth. The truth is, they're a couple. They saw no great need to do anything other than what they were doing, which was obviously enjoying themselves. If either one of them had been irritated, they would have turned that beacon on and been found in short order. So I think there's more about that story that we don't know. Question is, will we ever find out? You know what? Again, I'm with you. I think there's more to it. And, you know, and if they were out there having a good time, right? Running around naked on the boat and all that. I mean, hey, they got it right. Right? Right, 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 right. They got it right. But they could have kept the boat in a little bit better shape. Right? Got a little harness. You know, strap it to the mast. Lower yourself. Get that algae off the side of the boat. Come on. That takes what? Doesn't take a lot of time. I know somebody's going to say, what about sharks? Somebody can stay on watch while somebody cleans the algae. All right? It doesn't take that much. All right. Another email. Hey, Mac, you were reading a little bit ago about an analysis of the documents that were released by the CIA that were formerly in the possession of Osama bin Laden. Where was that? The website's called, this is the link that was just in the early bird, it's called FDD's Long War Journal. Okay, so if you search Long War Journal, you will find it. And I'll read you a little bit about Bill Roggio is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and the editor of FDD's Long War Journal. Thomas Jocelyn is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and is the senior editor for FDD's Long War Journal. So there you have it. And it looks to be a good little summary of the trove of documents, although I'm sure more is forthcoming. Another one. Hey, Matt, good morning to you. A little bit too early to wish you happy birthday, but I'm leaning in that direction. It's not too early. Happy birthday. Goes on. Why we didn't have armed drones up in Africa, given the response time of the French, kind of stupid to me. What people don't know is that drones are not like the Starship Enterprise. They don't zip everywhere in a matter of seconds. And then in parentheses, please make some sort of sound effect. Yeah, how about that? Was that quick enough? I don't know. Drones have to transit areas. So they may be a few hundred miles away executing normal ISR responsibilities when they're tasked with another mission. It takes time to get them there. Question is, would it have taken more or less time than the 30 minutes for the French to get in the air and another 30 minutes to get on station, and that an hour after the initial contact? All that gets factored into this stuff. Just saying that there should have been an armed drone. If it's not in the area, it's not much good. Now, I will say this. Most of the time, when you have that capability and you have this kind of engagement going on, it would tend to be in the vicinity helping out. So I think those capabilities need to be coupled up. And if they are, I don't see this happening again, because our drones have incredible capabilities now. And I would think that given the raising of the stakes in West Africa, whenever you see advisors go on key leader engagement, you will see armed drones in the area. Much respect for the Nigerian defense minister who requested this. And I liked his little quote. Could you read it at the end of this email? Here's the quote. I asked some weeks ago to arm them, the drones, and use them as needed, Defense Minister Kala Montari told Reuters in an interview. Asked if Washington had accepted the request, he said, "Our enemies will find out." I like that response, too. I would take that as a yes. Here's one more email, and then we'll take a break. Mac, what the hell is going on at Paris Island? This is stupid little kid shit. And why a sergeant doesn't feel he has the responsibility, after all the lectures, after all the discussion about hazing, to walk in to his first sergeant, to somebody above him that he's comfortable with, and let him know that shit isn't right? I don't get. Drinking on duty. There's another one. Where is the company commander? Where is the company first sergeant? How does this happen? And why aren't those guys ass in a ringer as well? In quotations, everything your unit does or everything your unit fails to do seems like something we like to say, but we really don't like to enforce. Should we enforce it? The company commander's career is over. The first sergeant's career is over. Sergeant major, regimental commander, their careers are over. Battalion commander, battalion sergeant major, their careers are over. I would guarantee you, if this is the course of action the Marine Corps took, shit would get straight in a hurry. Threaten people's livelihoods, and they will respond. You know, again, I don't disagree. You know, you say that and you hear it, it's pretty ominous, right? But it's not enforced so much, and I don't know another way to do it at the recruit depots. Now, I agree with you. It's to say it's troublesome is kind of bullshit. It's not troublesome. It's beyond troublesome. All classes, all that nonsense, all the discussions about hazing, all the things you put in place, and then look, this is not just, yeah, he made me push a piece of chalk along the floor, and at the end of it, you know, my nose, all the skin on the bridge of my nose was gone. This isn't that. This is singling out Muslim recruits, calling them ISIS, calling them terrorists, tell them you want to see their families' heads on stakes. Strapping one into a stress position, making him simulate slitting another Marine's throat as a terrorist. What kind of shit is that? Bullshit. That's what kind of shit. Yeah, there you go. That's what kind of shit it is. It's bullshit. All right, Gunner's going to join us. He's standing by. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.